Okay. Let's take it from the beginning of Shmuel Aleph Yud Aleph, even though we started last week, but just get into the story. Vayal Nachash Amoni, Nachash Amoni, the king of Ammon came, Vayichan El Yavish Gilad, came up and he camped against Yavish Gilad, Vayomakor Anshei Yavish Gilad El Nachash, and so the people of all of Yavish Gilad said to Nachash, cross on a breeze from Avdecha. Make with us a covenant, and we will serve you. With this, I will make for you a covenant. If each one of you takes out your right eye, I'm going to make an embarrassment to all the Jewish people. The elders of Yahweh said, give us 7 days extension. We'll send messengers all over the boundary of Eretz Yisrael. Remain Moshiach Sonu, the Yotzanei Lechem. If there's nobody to save us, they'll come out towards you and we'll let you gouge out our right eyes. So the Malbim here points out, why should he agree to these 7 days? He says in Gimel in the Dvar Shmuel, it will, you will not fulfill your intent. So only if they knew of this, and still they didn't come to help. Therefore, we should send them a message in order that they should know, not come, and then it'll talk of being an embarrassment for all Klai, so that because some people didn't come to save the people of Yavish Gilad, that all of them had their right eyes gouged out as a result. Okay, that's the Malbim shot. The Ralbag is a slightly different shot. I think it's Ralbag, who says that, the Rabbah says that this grace period was given in order to lure the entire Jewish army into one decisive defeat. So that's why they were brought down. He allowed them to go back in order to send these messengers in order that they should bring all the Jewish armies down in order that Nachash should be able to defeat all of them. So the messengers came to Givashol. They spoke the words in the ears of the nation, which were there by Shol. And everybody raised their voices. And they cried. Shaul the king, where is he coming from? From grazing his cattle in the field. You know, being king didn't pay so well in those in the good old days. So he's out grazing the cattle in the field. Shaul said, my lord, what's going on with the nation? They're crying so much. And they told him the words of the people of Yavish. They told him the words of the people of Yavish. Vatitzlach, and here comes a major turning point in Jewish history. Vatitzlach ruach Elokim al Shamo. The Spirit of God fell upon him when he heard Bishamos Advoimela, when he heard his words, Vayichar Apomeod, and he became very, very angry. So if you take a look here in the Malbim, Pasuk Vav, Vatitzlach ruach Elokim Vayichar Apok Far Bi'er. We already explained previously, philosophers explained, when a weak person hears of some iniquity which is committed, some unfairness which is done, he'll be sad about it. A mighty person, he'll get angry, lazels to come to take revenge. And by the ruach of Hashem, which is the ruach of Gvura coming upon him, by this chor apo, the Shaul got angry, Lenake Komiyavo, to take retribution from his enemies. Really?
One thing about the word done.
Really, Vatitzlach means to split, like the split rails is to remember. Abraham Lincoln was a rail splitter; that was his profession. So to split is litzloach, and hatzlocha means to pass through all possible, to split open any possible barrier and go through. So, but Titzlachel of Ruach Hashem, I would say here, means that the Spirit of God came down, literally cut through layers of Amad Baisham. I'm not sure what the layers were, but complacency maybe, and seized hold of him. So it means that it broke through, broke into him, the Ruach of Hashem. Who else will we have like this? But the Tzal of Ruach Hashem by Shimshon. The same thing happened by Shimshon. He got the Ruach Hashem. Vayochel Ruach Hashem lefamo betzav and eshtol. The Ruach Hashem came down upon him also. Similar idea. But by Pesach Zayin, vayikach Shim v'temet bakar. What did Shaul do? He took two of his cows. Vayinatchei, we cut them into little pieces. Vayishalach b'chol gvul Yisrael, and he sent all these pieces all over the borders of Israel. Biyad in the hands of Hamalachim, these messengers. Vaymar, with the following message. Asher enena yotzei achrei Shaul, so he doesn't follow Shaul in this war. V'achashua and Shmuel. Kol yatzeliv karol, this is what we're going to do to his cattle. We're going to break them apart. V'ipopach l'Hashem alam, and the fear of God fell on the nation. V'yetzu kishach, and they went out as if one person. V'ifkadeim b'basik, and they were enumerated in basik. V'yu b'nei Yisrael shloshmeos elef, yishudah shloshim elef. The Bnei Yisrael, there were 300,000, and the people of Yehuda alone, 30,000. Amazing, amazing numbers. Now, a couple of very, very important points here. First of all, where else do we find within the past couple of years, where else do we find recently that they cut something up and sent it all over Klal Yisrael?
Is it a common occurrence?
You don't have to know this. You weren't here last year, but everybody else here has to know it.
Then I feel better.
Yes. I'll give you a hint. It has to do with Shevet Binyamin as well. Pelegish Megiva. They chopped up the woman. You don't remember that? They chopped up the dead woman, the dead Pelegish, and they sent her all over Israel, the pieces. No recollection?
Those classes
were a success.
What?
I wasn't interested.
People being chopped up.
None of
it's
over
that. Trust me.
They chopped her up. Mrs. Levine remembers, right? They chopped her up and sent it all over Israel, little pieces. So say that Ruka said that see that this is what he did. Now it's remarkable because. I don't know, remarkable is the right word, but it seems more than coincidence that there it was involved with Shevet Binyamin, and here it's involved with Shevet Binyamin as well, right? Shaul from Shevet Binyamin is cutting this into little pieces, right? So it seems to me that there's some connection here. That's one parallel to Sefer Shoftim. And I believe, before we get to the second parallel, that what we're trying to express is that Am Yisrael has an organic nature. All 12 Shvatim are connected. At the end of the Sefer Shoftim, when things got to the lowest of the low, and the Binyaminites were fighting the rest of Klal Yisrael, and all this was happening, and there was lawlessness and, you know, rampant licentiousness. So the message to be sent there was, we've got to organize. We've got to all become one. We've got to become a unified nation. And therefore, pieces were sent to all of Klal Yisrael to say that we can't be like this anymore. We have to unify. There they unified against Binyamin. Well, Binyamin learned that lesson very well. So Binyamin now was the one to lead Klal Yisrael. It seems that there's a direct line between Pelegish Begiva at the end of Sefer Shoftim and the first Melech, which is from Shevet Binyamin, and does a similar thing over here to indicate that, listen, you guys came against Binyamin because there was splintering in Klal Yisrael. We learned the lesson the best. We're going to avoid any further splinting in Klal Yisrael. Let's make sure that the same thing doesn't recur. A similar message is sent. And that really, if a king is to do any good whatsoever, if a king is to have any validity in Klal Yisrael, what he has to do, and all he really is worth, is to bring a unity to Klal Yisrael, unity to the Jewish people. Yes? You could brainstorm a connection to Bris Ben Amsorim. Go ahead. Certainly legitimate there. They cut up stuff too. But what kind of connection? You can't just stop there. You have to have some integral connection.
Well, that was
Yeah.
And it would only end if one of them died.
That wasn't Brisbane. I'm sorry, though.
No, there used to be a mechanism of bridge between
pieces. Brisbane, I'm sorry. Oh, that used to walk between the pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
That's nice. Where are you going with that?
The message said as long as all of them were alive, that there would be a bridge between them.
It still doesn't fit here. No, unity, yes, but Brisbane, she's trying to connect them to Brisbane. I'm sorry. It wasn't really a symbol of unity, no. It was a symbol of a covenant between two entities, not unity so much. But in any event, I'll come back to this in a couple of minutes, but let's see the next pasuk first. We saw a pasuk, right? A pasuk ches. Now, I don't expect to remember this, but there's a real, you can get a lot of extra credit.
What is this?
If you can remember.
You go to Dunkin' Donuts sometime or something?
Extra credit you got in sixth grade. What good did it do for you now?
County points, I don't know.
Yeah, that's
exactly. I would have made another
one. Where does Bezek appear earlier in Tanakh? Bezek.
What does it mean?
Israeli phone company.
That's right.
Where does it appear earlier in Tanakh? We did have it.
It's
Shofting. It's Shofting, yes.
That happened
to Bezek. Where does Dr. Dachman, where does Bezek appear in Tanakh? Besides in Shtof Tishmul Aleph Yir Aleph Ches. It means, in the Mishnah means to scatter things. But it's how it means in the, well, it could mean that in Tanakh too. Scatter salt is called bad leavzok. Give you a hint. It was a really good hint. It was the beginning of the Sefer and not Sefer Shmuel. Sefer Shoftim. The first king against whom they waged war in Sefer Shoftim, Adoni Bezek. That was him. Adoni Bezek. Now look at this parallel. The first war waged by a Shofate was begun in Bezek. The first war waged by a Melech, Bezek as well. Isn't that remarkable? Again, there, it seems almost like, I would say that's why they went to Bezek here. They say, it seems to be almost blatant that they went to Bezek in order to, to relive that first victory when Klai Yisrael went. And in fact, here it singles out that there were 30,000 people from Shevet Yehuda. Well, the Shevet to fight most and best in the first war was Shevet Yehuda. It says that Mi'aleh Barishon Elilachim Lano Yehuda Yi'aleh. So Bezek, I see, is very, very connected. And the truth is that there is another pshat here in Chazal. If you take a look here in Ches, in Rashi, Rashi says, recently Bezek Rav Seder Amur B'Shivei Chalosim, that Bezek refers to broken piece of pottery. Bezek means to scatter or to break, so they took broken piece of pottery in order to make the census. So Vayifkadim B'Bezek is not necessarily a place, but rather a method of counting with broken pottery. But we know that Bezek is also a place. Rosh Nachar B'Bezek means avanim, that each one took a stone. Then he goes on to describe a few other ways in which you might have counted them. Bottom line is, in Rashi on the next side of the page, says Rosh Nachar B'Bezek Adoni Bezek ben Bezek. Okay. Now I think that Bezek we said back there, although I don't want to get into tonight because it would take us too long. But we said back there that Adoni Bezek obviously was the king of kings in the land of Israel, and that's why he had underneath his table. He had all the other kings who used to take off, to amputate their thumbs and their big toes, and have them under his table eating from scraps from his food. Very nice guy. So clearly he was the king of kings, and all the Koichos HaTumah, which were represented by Knan, were focused in Adoni Bezek. So here too, they have to fight the Tumah. They're out to fight not here Tumah of Knan. Tumah, they already eradicated most of that, I guess. But Tumah of Ammon, they come to Bezek to remember that great Tumah which they vanquished way back when. They're going to go through it again. Now turn to my notes for a minute, please, if you second to last page.
you.
Hey, Chet, about this issue. The parallels to Sefer Shoftim here are astounding. The similarity to Pelegish Begiva is obvious. The organic nature of Am Yisrael, which is expressed in the Melucha, and the power of Rachel, who was the great-great-great-great-grandmother of Shol, to express itself in kinah, in zealousness, and Ritzicha, and in murder, but of Milchama, of war, for the sake of heaven, is very powerful, and that's what was necessary here, that's what Shol brought out. And I'll bring here a little bit of a riot from Rav Tzadok. It says that your fear and your trembling will be upon all the animals. That's what it says at the beginning of Bereshis. A man is separate from a kid, from an animal in three ways. Which a man has power over three of his power strengths, or three of his drives, which animal does not. Now, the idea of man is to take these three drives and not to let them go run amok, like is their nature, but to use them like the will of God, and not like our animals. That distinguishes a man completely from animals, and then he is going to be rule over all his animals' drives, and all animals as well, all literal animals, will be subordinate to man as well. Okay, what these three midos, I know we haven't mentioned what they are yet, are alluded to in the statement made by, I guess we've shown him, not to eat from a brain, a heart, or the liver of animals. I don't know why we eat a lot of chopped liver, I don't know. Schwer, what? Sweetbreads. Well, you eat sweetbread, speak for yourself. But in any event, the way to remember those three things is melech. The word melech corresponds to moach, lev, kaved. Mem, lamed, kaf. Why is that? Because the moach is the intellect. The lave is the emotion. The kaved is always connected to actual physical life. Right? Because the blood is generated in the liver. And blood represents, you know, the actual physical life, right? Ki adamu ha-nefesh. And therefore, the physical existence is related to the kaved. So a king is a melech. He has the moach, lave, and kaved under his jurisdiction. If you eat the moach, lev, and kaved of an animal, then you become a shtick animal yourself. That's an associate from animal moach, lev, and kaved. Just like the king, all of the conduct of the world comes from him. Not sure, I wrote it myself. I think I put in a few extra words here. But by so too in a person, just like a king is rules the world, so too in a person, these three limbs rule the individual. When in these three areas, a man must be distinct from an animal. As we said, the liver has to do with doing deeds properly. So when we talk about the concept of an ideal king in Klal Yisrael, and what's going on here that Shol is now rising to the occasion. He's coming in Melech, which is giving him the power to use his zealousness, which comes from his mother, from his great-great-grandmother, from Rachel, the Shem Shemaim, in Moach, Lev, and Kaved area. Okay? Let's go on.
Culture trip, right?
Culture trip, yes.
He never does that.
What?
He
should
ask.
Anyway, if you see that a little bit of a self-plug here I wrote on the sheet here, see our Perush on Shoftim for the significance of Bezek, because obviously Bezek was very significant. I did write a piece on it. In writing my Sefer on Shoftim so far, I'm in Perek Vav several while ago. Yes. He attacked when?
During the morning watch.
This is the Watson Shaw is going to attack. Okay. It means more parallels to Shofti? Like what? Yeah, okay, okay. All right, Pasuk Tes. Marachlev covered are unpaired organs. Yeah, they're sequential order. Moach is the top lab. Moshe lab. Right, Moach and Moshe lab covered, okay. What does that mean, the liver is most metabolically active? It does the most. It uses the most calories when you're at rest. Really? Body temperature is generated by the liver? So that means that's why it represents physical existence. Very good. Yeah, it grows again. What? No, covered. Right, covered means liver, yeah. Okay, chop liver. Kaved katsuts. Chop liver sounds better. But anyway, it's a pasuk tes. Vayomer l'malachim abayim. They said to the messengers who were sent from Yavish Gilad, Kosum alish Yavish Gilad, this is what he says to the Yavish Giladites. Mochet yelachem teshua. Tomorrow you're going to have a salvation b'chom ha-shemesh by the heat of the sun. They told the people of Yavesh Yisrael, and they rejoiced. There's a lot of symbolism here. What? You understand the pasuk?
No, I don't.
At the heat of the sun, we're going to come. We're going to save you. Not that the sun will come at the heat of the sun. Midday, we're going to come and save you. There's a lot of symbolism here. Yavesh means dry. Chom is hot. Bezek means dry pottery, right? Broken dry pottery. So there's a lot of dryness and heat going on here in the symbolism. So I think that also is all connected to the midah of Shol to be a tzaddik, to be a righteous, upstanding individual, and to watch himself very carefully from any kinds of aveiros which have to do with licentious behavior, which after Pilegesh Begiva they made sure to be like that. So too, that everybody associated with this mitzvah and trying to overcome Amon is called Yavesh, it's called dry, hot, not about Taiva. So all these things have to do with being against Taiva. And just in one respect, I want to point out that also by Yoshua, we find a similar thing. He's connected also with the place called Bezek, not directly, but he's buried in a place called Givas Cheres. Right, so Cheres is pottery, and here too it's connected with Bezek, which is a form of at least broken pottery. All right, be that as it may. So the people of Yavesh said to the king of of Ammon, tomorrow we're going to come out before you, and you'll be able to do us whatever is good in your eyes. So Shaul placed the nation, Shlosha Roshim, in three different groups of ambush, like you said, similar to Gidon, who made three different ambush groups. And like Gidon, they came into the camp of the Ammonites in the morning watch. The kid by Gideon, they came over the night, I think. But in any event, a similarity in certain respects. And they smote Ammon until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that those who were left over, they scattered. They scattered so well that no two people from Ammon were left together in any one place. They're so totally annihilated, the tide so totally turned against them. That's right.
Okay.
Nothing? Okay. Vayomer on El Shmuel. So the nation said to Shmuel, Mi Omer. Now they were really involved in Shol. They liked Shol. They said, Mi Omer, who had the chutzpah to say, Shol Yimloch Aleinu, will Shol be the king over us? To Nu Anoshim, give those people who were not the Shol's fans, we're going to meet same and we will kill them. But that's going to do away with them. Whoever was against Shol. It's Bitzmiya. Give it to people who said sarcastically, Shol Yimloch Aleinu, is Shol going to be king over us and we'll kill them. Vayomer Shol, and Shol said, Lo Yumatish. Nobody should die today. Today HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a salvation in Klal Yisrael. So the Malbim is a cute thing here. And Baskin Gimel, that's on the bottom of the facing page. Nobody should be put to death today. Till today, they weren't considered to be rebelling against the king. So remember, where is Shaul coming from at the beginning of the story? From the fields, grazing his cows, right? So that ain't no king. So since till now, not everybody conceded to his kingship. Until he said them from Amon. This is going to come to occur till today. The Desh and Emma, that's what it says. Since God made the salvation today, until now, I didn't really have the deed of a king. Okay, so therefore he said, nobody should be put to death because of the great day it is for Christ. According to Malvin, because until now I wasn't fully the king. You dial it, Vayomer Shmuel Elam. So Shmuel said to the nation, wow, this king guy, he's not bad. Let's go to Gilgal. Let us renew our pact of the kingship of Shaul, because we see that he's not just a king, but rather he's a good guy. Okay? Pasuk Tazvah. All the nation went to Gilgal. They made Shaul the king before God. In the Gilgal, and they sacrificed their korbanos. And Shaul and all the people of Christ rejoiced very much there, right? Because obviously the kingship was looking that it would be actually a good thing. Now Shmuel says to all of Christ, this is valedictory address. I listen to you, Lukol, and share my testimony to everything you said to me. And I gave you a king. But now, the king is going before you. I'm old and decrepit, or satiated days. When I love, he my sons with you. And he's happy to him, and I've gone before you, we know right from my youth, I don't know what to today. Couple of things here. First of all, how old is Shmuel at the time? 52, he died. So did he, what is Zakati Vasafti for? Well, that's nice, but that's allegorical. Give me a punch of shot. Why Shmuel says Zakati was only around 50? What? Taking care of Jews like the answer. I'll give you an idea. And something happened to him which was similar to what you say in Nagoda. Right, Irani Gavet Shimshana. Right, he looked old. He looked old and decrepit, so he was able to say, why did Shmuel die young? Does anybody remember why Shmuel, why he wanted to die young? Why? So what? No, it doesn't say. Sons in what? Yeah, but they weren't put to death. That's what it says, but I ain't them. He didn't want to see their downfall, he's saying. Alright, the reason what Chazal say is because he didn't want to see Shaul die in war. Because he anointed Shaul, so he felt a vested interest in Shaul, so he didn't want to see him die. He wanted to predecease him. Okay? In any event, yes.
Can I
Obviously, when we were talking about the previous parak, we were talking about Melech as well. But it could be the transition is intentional. When Shaul came out to be a Melech, and therefore he's called the Melech, not just the Nugget. It could be. That's interesting. They don't call each other Malachim. I wonder if that's true. Are you? I don't know. We'll have to see. I'm not sure of that. Okay. Plus a base. No, we did plus a base, sorry. Let me just see if I have something here. No, nothing to give me. Plus a gimel, here I am. A new bee, answer me. Neged Hashem Neged Mishiko, in front of God, in front of his anointed one. Who's God's anointed one in this case? Shomi Lakachti, whose ox have I taken? The Chaimormi Lakachti, or even whose donkey have I taken? That's my Hashakti. How did I treat people? It's me, Rad Sosi. Or how did I get people upset or oppressed. Umiyad mi lakachti kofer, and did I take a ransom from anybody? From who do you take ransom for, like, if you have a murderer? So a murderer can get out of the thing by ransoming himself. So Shmuel says, did I take any ransom for anything? I never took a ransom. If somebody was chayev to get punished, I punished him. Did I ever take ransom for Alime Naibo? And not pay attention to that individual gave me ransom? Vashiv Lachem? And did I No. Well, it could be a bribe. I guess you call it instead of a ransom. You call it actually in colloquial, would call it a bribe. That's true. So I'm trying to see how the last two words fit in here. I forgot. Oh, I'll give it back to you. That's right. If I took any bribe, or if I took any money which I shouldn't have taken, or if I took anything of that sort, then I'll give it back to you. Tell me, and I'll give it back to you. It's a strange lotion. Okay, good question. Okay, a couple of questions here again. First of all, why Shmuel Chaim was asking, why is Shmuel giving the whole speech here? That was your question? No, your question is the structure. First of all, let me ask you another quiz question today. I'm staying a quiz show host. Which Parsha uses this Perek as Haftorah? No. No, it's not Fayero. You guys should be terribly embarrassed. No. I'll give you a hint. Where does it say in Tanakh that Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Eschamor mi mehem lakachti"? That's not in Tanakh. Not in Vayelech. Guess what? It's not in Devarim period. It's in Bamidbar. Not cook, that's for your clothes. Neither Bullock nor Pinchas.
What's the question?
Which Sedra uses Perikus Haftorah? Korach. That's what it is. And Moshe Rabbeinu there says, Takas, Chamor mi mehem lokachti. So, there is there are a lot of parallels in this perek to what happened with Korach, and we'll come back to that later on. That's your question. As far as Chaim's question, clearly the fact that he says, you're neged Hashem and neged Meshicho, means, listen, Shol, I'm going to teach you now a lesson about how to be a good leader. Part of the reason for his valedictory address seems to be that he's trying to teach Shol what's right and what's wrong, and how to be a good leader and how to be a bad leader. That's what it seems. Yes. Because there are other Cheshbonos here as well. But one of the primary reasons seems to be because of the teaching of Shol. Okay? A couple of other interpretations here. Radaka Pasuk Gimel says a few of different interpretations brings us to Targum. What are Shakti and Ratzosi are, what's the difference between the two? I'm not really that interested in that right now. In Pasuk K, though, he has a very important distinction. For instance, in Pasuk Dahad, however. Vayomru Kabneso said, Lo Ashaktanu. You didn't say, you didn't cheat us, Lo Tosano, you didn't cause us to part with our money. The Radak says, Ashaktanu means, unintentionally, and so sonar means intentionally. In any event, you guys didn't do anything wrong for us per se. You never took for anybody, didn't think of anybody. So Shmuel said, "Ein Hashem b'chem. Is God going to testify about this against you?" I went back a page. And again, we have Shmuel Tzvi Toy the Shul Shol. They have Mishichoyim as it. And Shmuel should also testify this. The Lord learned the lesson. Kilometzas and Biyadi Muma. You didn't find anything on my party that I got from anybody. Vayomer. And according to most unfortunate things, means a bas kol came out from heavens and said, "Hey, yes, I Kaviyochol, so to speak, Hakadosh Baruch Hu himself testifies to that." So that's one interpretation. Vayomer 8, another interpretation, perhaps more conventional, is that Vayomer 8 means that Bnei Yisrael said Ki ish echad b'lev echad, with one voice and in one unity, that there were 8 him, that Shmuel never took anything he was not allowed to take. Be that as it may, a very interesting thing here is that...
But is it possible, or would you say that it would not have been possible for the Bnei Yisrael to speak to the unified voice had not been for the war that had just occurred, the actions of Shaul sending things to all the warriors and telling them as well as one man, like I said in the previous part?
Without the previous part, would this whole parent sort of take place?
Without the previous part, could they possibly say the number 8 and unwarranted?
Probably not, right, because they wouldn't be unified. But this way they could all be unified and all stay together. Is that what you're asking? Vayomer Shmuel Aram. Shmuel said to the nation, Hashem asher also as Moshe v'es Aaron. Hashem who made Moshe and Aaron what they were. V'asher helas avoseichem eretz Yisrael, who took them, our forefathers, out of Egypt. So therefore, with basically saying we have a lot in you know what? Well, let me stop here for a second. The question in this pasuk is, what does Asher Asas Moshe Ves Aaron mean? What does it mean that he made Moshe and Aaron? So that brings out a couple of interpretations here. The Radak says one interpretation that he raised Moshe and Aaron, and some say that he wrought miracles by Moshe and Aaron. But in any event, this pasuk is kind of a non sequitur here. It says, hey, let's talk about Hashem for a pasuk. Let's say something about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you learn, like Chazal say, that Vayomer Eid was Hashem at the end of pasuk, hey, so pasuk above is saying he's identifying today, hey guys, that was Hashem who was speaking. Hashem took you out of Egypt, Hashem who saved your forefathers. But if you say that Pasuk K is not a Basco, that Pasuk Vav really doesn't start. The only way it starts is possibly as a prelude to the next Pasuk, which is to say that Moshe and Aaron, they set Bnei Yisrael into motion, and then afterwards, therefore I'm going to give you, and he goes out the next few Pasukim to give an overview of Jewish history from the time Moshe and Aaron. tomorrow. So either you can learn it, which I think is more glatt, as saying that he's identifying who the aid was, or it's about a prelude to what is about to come, a discussion of the entire history of Klal Yisrael. But there's something very important about this pasuk, very, very important about this pasuk, which is that for only the second time in Jewish history here, what occurs? I think only the second time in Jewish history. What occurs here for only the second time in Jewish history? No. That I haven't seen yet. I've told you that it's not to do that. But what do we see here for the second time in Jewish history? The entire Jewish people had to believe Echad if you learn that way. But if you learn the other way, then what happens in front of the entire Jewish people for the second time in history? Revelation. True at a lower level. But remember, this perek, I shouldn't remember it because you know you have no way of knowing it unless I tell you to right now. But I'm telling you a big yisoid. In my mind, I made it up. I don't know if it's true or not true. I think it's very big. Which is that this perek is the foundation for that line in Tehillim, Moshe v'Aaron b'Kohanav u'Shmuel b'Kohrei Shemo. What Moshe and Aaron achieved was their kahuna, their priestly status, and Moshe was also a priest in the Midbar. Shmuel achieved with his tefillah. In other words, this whole pasuk is telling us that even when there are no karbanos, even when the person is not an oved with karbanos, he's not a kohen, because Moshe had a din of a kohen in the desert, nonetheless you connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not just you alone. You can connect the rest of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu too. You can cause another Yizkalus. That's what he caused here. A divine revelation, unique in the Jewish history. Almost the only time. Okay? But, so then he says, nonetheless, whether, and that's how he's identified Pasuk Vav, but be that as it may, he says, Pasuk Zayin, Vatois Yatzvu, now all of you rise. Vishavto Eschem, and I'm going to judge with you, in other words, you're going to be litigants, leaving Hashem before God. Es Kol Tzidkos Hashem, Asher Osa, let's discuss all the Tzidkos which Hashem did, Itchem, with you, Vesavosechem, with your forefathers as well. What are they? Kasheba, Yaakov, Mitzrayim, and Yaakov came down to Egypt, Vaisaku, Avosechem, Hashem, and eventually your forefathers came along after Yaakov, and they davened to Hashem. Vaishlach Hashem, and Hashem sent, as Moshe, Vesaro, Moshe Naro, they took your forefathers out of Egypt, Vaishivum, Bamakomazen, we placed them to live in this area. They forgot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayim Koro Son Biyad Sisra HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore sold him into the hands of Sisra. Sarkzva Chatzor, the general of Chatzor. Uviyad Plishim, and also in the hands of Plishim, Biyad Melch Moab, in the hands of Yehand, the king of Moab. Vayilachim Obama, we wage war against them. Vayizakul Hashem, but when we wage war, we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayome Chotano, we say, we have sinned. Ki Ozavnus Hashem, because we live for Sukkah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We went to worship, in other words, they confessed that they went to worship the Baal and the Ashtaros, all sorts of good Canaanite Avodah Zoros there. Thing in Quebec. We had now save us from our enemies, and we will serve you, our Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's all descriptions. No, now. In the past. Because we're recapitulating Jewish history here. Now, it's a very important point here, which is that in the old days, Bnei Yisrael got out of trouble by doing tshuva, by atoning, by davening. Now they don't want that anymore. Now it's all in the ballgame. How many so want to get out of trouble now? By a king waging war for them. And that's going to come back to dramatic focus in a couple of minutes. In Pesukim, Vayishlach Hashem sent Es Yerubal, Yerubal is Gidon, Ves Bedon is Shimshon. I'm going to
I'm not saying it's my real question. The man has to taste
ויפתח ושמואל יפתח and Shmuel ויצל אתכם מהרויי ויכם and he saved you from your enemies מסביב around you ותשו בטח and you lived in peace. The question is, why are these four guys mentioned? Yerubal, Yiftach, Shmuel, and who was the fourth one? Shimshon. Right. Why are the four mentioned together? So the Rabbag said he has a discussion of why these four are mentioned together. If you take a look at the Rabbag says.
It's
important about Bag. It's over here on page. The page that says 88 at the top. In the 1, 2, 3, fifth line down. Bacher then, after the first discussion in the barrack, Hilchi Babiur, then the explanation was expanded, B'chassonim, to discuss the Chassonim Shasa Hashem Yisrael Yisrael, which Hashem did to Klai Yisrael. B'kitzim is Elipasim, we didn't mention all of them. Ki lo zog ni Yoshua, shin chalem is all, we didn't even mention Yoshua. Lo zog ganki me Hashoftim, shakim Hashem Yisrael Yisrael, we also don't mention Moses Shoftim, which Hashem gave Klai Yisrael. Ki im, Chamisha. Only five. Really? It's five? Yubal, Bedon, Shmuel, Yubal is Yiftach. How's it get five? Yubal. Yeah, I know I got five here. Somebody put in a five. That's obviously a mistake. It's only four. Kim Chavisha Vlozuchai Shovit Shitim Yad Sitra doesn't even mention Shovit say them from Sitra. If Shekhar Sochem Hashem Ocham Shez Bob Sitra despite the fact that it says Hashem sold them to Sitra. V'yidma it seems Shalozor Eilu Arabah. The only mentions these four, King Leviathan, in order to explain for them, Shem Eiro, Chazi, Hashem is born because of the great mercy of Hashem, Hoy Oyod, because that it was, Shol Shiaz, Yisroel, Me'evem, Pam, that he saved Chazor from their enemies, Pam, Ayad, occasionally, through Habilti Shlemi Mo'od, the lowlifes, the ones that are very far from Shlemos. Even though they didn't merit have making a great salvation for Klal Yisrael, based on their own merit. Just like Yerubal and Yiftach, Gidon and Yiftach. Yerubal, before the Novi came to town, he was an Ovi Avodah Zorah. Kshekor Hashem Elov, Roshia is Yisrael, nonetheless. Hashem called him to save Klai Yisrael. V'yiftach ganki lo in lo milo. Yiftach also, we didn't see any milos about him. Ki b'gvura, only that he had great strength. U'pam oshim ayedei ha-shlemi mod. And sometimes Hashem saved people by putting them together with the poorest of the poor, the least meritorious show faith, right? And sometimes he put them together with the richest, most meritorious show faith, right? K'moyim b'don v'shmuel. By Shimshon and Shmuel. The Don of Shimshon, Matzano, Lo, Me, Hashem, which we found was whole. Shekvar, also Hashem is born on Mofei Sayon, because Hashem made a Mofei through him. A miracle. Because Shekvar, Hashem on him, when Hashem called him, he answered him. Vizel, Rao, Shlemus. And this shows he was at a very high level. But Yosef opened my mind, my dragon said to me that he was somewhat on the level of a prophet. He had Moifsim, because miracles, Lo, Yas, Hashem is born, Hashem will not perform Rakai Dei Aroi unless the person is worthy of it. Like he goes on to say in another place in any event. And his other sefer, but Shishi means sefer Milchamas Hashem, the fifth, sixth parak of Milchamas Hashem. Well, I'm Shleim with Shmuel, but what's the Shleim with Shmuel, whom have worn my own? It's very clear. V'zeh ha'yom mi'olam ha'ashgocha lokis b'Yisrael. And this was divine providence in the Jewish people. That when it was somebody in Kleistel was a Sholem who could work a miracle, Hashem made that person be the Shefet. And he saved Kleistel. When they didn't have somebody like that among them, he also saved them by people who were far from Shlemus. Right, that's enough for here. In other words, that's why the four mentioned to show that Hashem can save either with very great or very little, depending on the situation.
According to the shot of the Rabbi, isn't the pasuk set up a little bit wrong? Because you're talking about Badan and Shmuel being of one caliber, one category.
Right, and you're
Yerubal and Yiftach are one, but they're separated because you have Yerubal, then Badan, then Yiftach, then Shmuel.
Right, you're right. There is a little bit of the order is a little bit off, but that's Rabbi's shot nonetheless. Just a second. That's Rabbi. The Radak here has a fascinating interpretation. Pasuk Yav, mamish fascinating. It's late. I just want to finish Pasuk Yav for tonight. I only did about half of what I intended to do tonight. But the Rabbi in Pasuk Yav says, this is amazing. You got to see this. He says, why Shmuel mention his own name? Shmuel's talking. He says, Vayishlach Hashem is Shmuel. Basically. Why does he mention his own name? So Radak says, I've got to find it here. All the way on the left, on the extreme left in the Radak. Three lines on the bottom of the Radak. Uvidrash, Rabbi Lo Mishum Rabbi Yosi Ben Zimra, Av Shmuel Rabban Shel Nevi'im Shmuel, who was the master of all prophets. Nibe Bisnabe would prophesy, Hayodeam of the Lo Hayodeam Mahayom Isnabe. He didn't know what he was prophesying. In other words, he was in a prophetic trance. And since he was in a trance, he wasn't talking. He was conveying the message which was coming to him. So therefore, he's talking about himself in the third person because it's almost like an oracle, Lahavdil. That's why it says Shmuel talking about himself, right? Third person about himself. Like when Moshe wrote down the entire Torah, right? Just one more thing. There's a famous Rashi here, very, very well-known famous Rashi. Rashi says that they mentioned three lightweights. Rashi takes Shimshon as being one of the lightweights, not like the Rabbag. The Rabbag takes Shimshon as one of the heavyweights. Rashi says one of the lightweights. Shimshon, Yiftach. And Gidon mentioned the three lightweights, and Shmuel was one of the biggest heavyweights of all time. As I said, Moshe Aaron Makor Nov, Shmuel Makor Shmuel, which the Pesukim really have to deal with next week. So why they all mentioned together? Because the famous line in the Gemara, Yiftach Bedoro Kishmuel Bedoro. You go to the court which is in your generation. A Basin, you have to listen to it. Not talking about in terms of Psak, in terms of Lomdus, in terms of, Yerushalayim, but leadership means paskining court cases, bringing order to Klal Yisrael. In your generation, you listen to whoever the government is, whoever the leader is, because otherwise it would just be complete and total anarchy. So that's what it shows. Even if you got a lousy leader, like certain countries, so then you have to listen.
I was not talking about a democratic.
You have to listen because that's the same thing.
Not sure. The democratic system is a system by which
until you vote him out, he's your president.
Yeah, but the point of a democratic system,
even yours, Chaim.
Not my friend. I live here.
Yes, why do you want to? Okay, Dr. Fell's been chomping at the bit for a while.
Why isn't the Gemara mentioned?
Well, it doesn't fit into any of the salient points of trying to make here.
And he mentioned Sisera.
That's true, but we don't have to mention, we're mentioning Sisera. The Malbim says, the truth is, I really was meant to bring that on the next puzzle, so let's do the next puzzle, and I'll answer your question. Let's do the puzzle good base. I stapled this on the wrong side. Now you saw. Did I ever actually finish reading the pasuk and pasuk it off? Anyway, but tell us, Chaim Yaakov, Avichem Yisrael, Hashem saved from all your enemies from around you. But Tisha Betel, you live securely. Now you saw Nachash, the king of Ammon, coming upon you. But Tom Ruli, and you said, "Lo, no. Ki Melachim Lo Chaleinu, we're going to have a king over us." Hashem Elokeichem Malkechem, and how could this be? Hashem Elokeim is your king. So the thing is. See, now that I'm up here, I get the warning much quicker. So the Shaila is, what is this lo? What are they saying? What does the no mean? No what? No, I don't want any coffee. What does it mean no? So the Malam says very important, he said, we'll come back to this again next week, which is the entire anhaga of the time the Shoftim, and the Reb Tzadik alludes to it as well, later in the parak we'll get that, the entire anhaga at the time the Shoftim was, do tshuva, Hashem will send geula. You sinned, do tshuva, Hashem will send geula. By Sitzra, the reason we brought down Sitzra here is only in order to answer your question, that was only in order to emphasize that the Tzoras came when Klai Yisrael was at a low spiritual level. And therefore the Geula came when Klai Yisrael was at a high spiritual level. And Shmuel's Koyach was, Bekore Shmo, he could lead Klai Yisrael in Tefillah and bring the Geula that way. And Shmuel said, it's true, Nachash Bnei Amon came, Nachash Melech Amon came, but we could have done the same thing. But what did you say? No. That was the old way. Now, we want the new way. What's the new way? When problems come, tshuva? We don't do tshuva anymore. Now we got a king. This is the 90s. We fight with kings. We don't fight anymore with things. Just one more thing. If you take a look at my last page of notes, I just want to finish the pasuk. I wrote at the end, what is Losi the Malbim? The old system of tshuva and fila, Elokechem Malkechem is no longer. Melchi Melchalenu. From now on, we're not going to do things in the supernatural way through tshuva, but b'derech hateva, by fighting with the king. It seems most paradoxical that nevuah increased at the time of the wane of the higher plane of Ashgacha, Hashem is broken. In other words, till now, there was very little nevuah, but the Ashgacha was l'malamin hateva. You do tshuva, you get gula. You don't do tshuva, you don't get gula. Now everything is going to be done with natural way, with kings leading wars, etc., etc. Perhaps, this is the precise point here, but when the Ashgacha is itself manifests the Yad Hashem, then you don't need the revelation of nevuah as essentially. But now that there's not going to be so much revelation in Hashgacha, because it's not going to be a tshuva geula balance anymore, now they needed to have more his galus via nevuah instead of these galus via the Hashgacha. I'll have to come back to that next week, but I wanted to get that in the door.